This is an interesting headline. The Senate ditches dress code as Fetterman and others choose casual clothes.
Yeah, I saw that.
So if you're not familiar, it used to be like there was a dress code in the Senate. You would have to wear a suit, and now you don't anymore. Let me see.
Yeah, it used to be all sorts of rules. Like, the women could wear off-the-shoulder dresses until a couple of years ago, or maybe that was still going on now.
Yeah.
Again, a man had to be in a suit, at least with a blazer, I believe. Fetterman had that stroke. Turned out after that, he was like, I'm going to wear sweatshirts, you know, all the time, everywhere I go. I don't really know the backstory. I do know that some people seem to be pretty upset, and other people are like, that's cool, I'll wear a bikini.
I'm reading over this, and it seems like people are very torn about it. Senators, basically our leaders, should they be wearing sweatshirts and sweatpants on the floor when they're making huge decisions? When you got into radio, you knew you weren't going to have to get dressed up every day.
Sure.
But there are plenty of days where you do. Right? Like, you get dressed up because you have special meetings, you have special videos, you have other things to do. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like it does add an elevated environment.
Area of respect as well, too, right? So here's my two concerns. I mean, obviously, you can cast a vote, you can listen to arguments and, you know, come up with a decision wearing sweatpants. It's not like you can't do that. That's not impossible. When you're talking to somebody else and you are our representation, you should be coming off pretty good, right?
Yeah.
So whether this be domestic or international, like, I think that I want somebody else to look at you and have some respect and not think that you're just mailing it in. And number two is, I believe that this opens the door for showmanship. You know, we've already been getting that think about the way the State of the Union has changed over the last 10 years or whatever. Now it's almost in fashion for people to yell things out from the gallery. It's a mess. And I think that kind of break from decorum is not a good thing. And I think that this will lend itself to doing some of that with clothes, too.
I'm like looking. And then Connecticut Senator Murphy said that he's gotten reprimanded in the past for not wearing a tie on the floor.
Yeah.
So part of me is like, no, like, you shouldn't have to wear a tie every day. Like,
sure,
that seems extreme. But then, like, well, where do you draw the line? If you say you don't have to wear a tie, then do you really need to wear a button down shirt? Can you wear a polo? Mm. Like, it's funny with my husband. My husband works in a very corporate environment. Like, there'll be Zooms where he's got his Zoom shirt hung up at home if he has to take, if he's working from home, or if he's got a meeting with some of his big bosses, he wouldn't be caught dead on a Zoom in a t-shirt, you know?
Things change. Obviously, we know that. Women weren't allowed to wear pants until 1993.
What a great day that was. Did you say 1993?
1993, as shocking as that is.
It's wild.
It is crazy, right?
I don't know. I want them to look professional. I want them to show up and dress up and show like they care and that they put the effort in. I mean, they always say dress for the job you want. But I don't know if this is outdated or not. How strange. Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. So, you know, Raven, it's not that often that pop music and football trend together, but there's those unique times.
Seems to be the Super Bowl basically is the only time.
Right. So it happened yesterday, and ironically, there was the Super Bowl halftime performer announcement, but it had nothing to do with that.
Huge afterthought.
So if you missed it, they did announce the halftime performer for the upcoming Super Bowl. It's going to be Usher. You know him from hits like this.
Yeah.
Would you like to get in a time machine? Because he has more hits.
Let me hear him.
Like to get in a time machine. Yeah. I mean, that's when you know.
Right.
DJ got us falling in love again.
You get it. He's a big star.
I don't want to be a hater or anything. You know, just kind of sleepy if you ask me.
Let me love you down.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Well, that's the thing is, fine is a word that I'm looking for something better than that. I mean, he's doing a big residency right now in Vegas. People love him.
Yes.
Obviously, it's happening in Nevada, so that's a big deal. And there'll be a lot of guests because he's been a guest on a lot of tracks and had a lot of guests with him.
Well, I think that's what makes him such a big attraction. And I think what the Super Bowl and the people that plan it have figured out is that if you want to make it exciting, you want somebody that's going to have a lot of different people. Like the hip-hop one was so wildly spectacular because it was like 100 different people involved in it.
But it was also the first one that was fully hip-hop centric. So I think you got to remember that too. Because Rihanna was great.
Yeah, this is... We disagree. We agree to disagree on that one.
Well,
okay, anyway, so that's what's going to happen. People were like, all right, great, Usher, turn the page. What really people were talking about was Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Because there's been a lot of rumors about them dating. Now, you may remember a few months ago, Travis Kelce and his brother were on their podcast, and Travis said this.
Speaking of Taylor Swift, I know you went to the Taylor Swift concert. How was it?
Yeah, well, I was
disappointed that she doesn't talk before or after her shows because she has to save her voice for the 44 songs that she sings. So I was a little butthurt I didn't get to hand her one of the bracelets I made for her.
You made her a bracelet?
Yeah. If you're up on Taylor Swift concerts, there are friendship bracelets, and I received a bunch of them being there, but I wanted to give Taylor Swift one with my number on it. Not right now. She doesn't meet anybody, or at least she didn't want to meet me, so I took it personal.
So everybody was like, oh, go out with the guy, go out with him. And all of a sudden, ironically, the rumor started that they were dating, but nobody would confirm it. And then sure enough, last night at the Kansas City Bears game, here is Taylor Swift in the private room. Why are you laughing at me?
Because you have no idea what you're talking about with football. You sound like you're trying to dance through it.
What? It was a football game. Taylor Swift was there.
She was there. That much is accurate. 100%.
Yeah. And she was sitting next to his mom.
That's true.
Yeah. And, like, of course, you know, he gets a touchdown. She's screaming and going crazy. And here's the commenters.
Mahomes floats it up. Caught. Touchdown, Travis Kelce. Kelce finds a blank space for the score.
Do you think that they all started frantically going nuts when they realized she was there? And they were like, we got to write down as many things as we can to say.
They've been doing it for weeks, getting ready for this opportunity here. Let me ask you, you don't think this is first date, right? It's not first date you go out with his mom.
Right, I was about to say.
And be on television, right?
I do think it's interesting, though, quickly that she did make a debut like this. But I also think Travis Kelce is super hot and funny and a good catch, maybe they just hit it off really well off the bat.
Maybe. I'm not sure whether or not, I feel like maybe he's courting her hard, but I don't know whether or not, she's all in or anything.
I don't know. I think she's having a good time, and let her have a good time. But my favorite was poor Patrick Mahomes after the game talking about how he felt so much pressure from the Swifties for him to score a touchdown.
You could see it in the game plan early on. They were definitely trying to get the ball to him, and the defense was keying in on that, so then they had to go another way.
But they totally smoked the Bears. They did it, though.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 It's the little things in life that make you crazy, right? You know, whenever somebody does it, you just roll your eyes and you think to yourself, that's all I need to know about you. Here's your chance to get it off your chest. 1-800-330-9999. Maria.
Let me tell you something. One thing that I don't need to know none about you is when you're on social media, my baby daddies are that beat. I'm like, what? Girl, look back and think about this. That's like something I'll be like, oh my God, hold on, you know?
When you see that post, you just file it away and you say, okay, yep, I understand this thing about that person.
Okay, yep, that's it.
Andre, it's all I need to know about you.
So if you walk into a barbershop and you don't expect women to be cutting hair, that's all I need to know about you.
What?
I had a client sit in my chair and he said he didn't think women were working in barbershops.
Well, I mean, does he know that we have rights now?
Did anybody tell him? Probably not.
Oh.
In that neighborhood, it's possible he didn't.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Are we letting them vote? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Did he elaborate? I'm sure you didn't actually ask, because I'm wondering if it's something about the shop talk, right? Like, like guy talk, like almost like locker room. But saying it out loud, bro, take yourself back to like 1950.
Brad, that's all I need to know about you.
If you take your dog out for a walk late at night on the kids' AstroTurf football field, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, no.
Why do it on the football field? That's gross.
That is disgusting. Those kids roll around in that stuff.
With his two dogs. Two dogs out there. It's a brand new field. It's only like 2 weeks old.
Well, there's got to be signs posted or something. You got to contact the school or the town and let them know to put up some signs.
That's gross.
Yes.
Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah, something. There's no lights on the field, so it just kind of goes out there at night and lets the dogs do their thing.
That's disgusting.
That's wrong.
You're right. That's all I need to know about you. Thanks, Brad.
Lisa, that's all I need to know about you.
You're on a parkway or a highway, and you have to get all the way over in the left lane, and you don't move. You drive slow, and everybody has to go around you.
Yeah.
Act like you got a purpose, all right?
It drives crazy.
Step it up. You're entering the Gulf Stream. You're going to need to enter at speed. Let's go.
If you're too afraid to go fast, stay in the right lane where you belong.
Right, exactly. And never go left. Never go left.
Connor, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, if you're obsessed with UFOs, that's all I need to know about you.
Well, now more than ever, because it's so, all over the news. It's wild.
It's just, yeah.
What's not to obsess about? They got that one that looks like a tic-tac. That
little,
know.
You see the little alien?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the little alien. Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm buying that one, but the Tic Tac that goes underwater, that's pretty cool.
I can't. Like, I you fall down the black hole of UFOs when you start researching it, and it's so strange to me that for so many years, UFOs was such a out there thing, you know, like crazy people believed in UFOs, and now they're coming out with information that seems like it's coming from real officials, and part of me is like, to go back to ignoring it. I don't want to actually believe that this is really happening out in the universe somewhere.
I want them to land in my front yard.
No.
Then we'd be
stay
best
away from
friends.
My yard. No, you
Take
could be
me
best
with
friends.
You.
No. On average, you have 6 dumb arguments every weekend with your friends and family. But who had the dumbest? You can always call 1-800-330-9999 to share yours. Raven, producer John, producer Sean, let's see which one of us had the dumbest ones. John, let's start with you.
So, Brian, this is your gig, correct?
Correct.
But you're not on stage playing guitar right now, correct?
Correct.
Okay, this is somebody who came up and asked if they could play for a little while, correct?
Correct.
Is this person going to get paid tonight?
They'll get a couple free drinks.
So you're here at your own gig,
yes.
Just hanging out,
yeah.
Enjoying your free bar tab,
yeah.
But not actually doing the work.
Correct.
And you find nothing wrong with this.
Life of a musician.
I mean, that is the life of the promoter at the very least. I mean, he's put together a gig here, even though he's not playing.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, he kind of gamed the system. I almost respect it, except it's like, come on, dude. So I walk into the bar. I hang out with these guys all the time. I walk into the bar and I see not Brian on the stage. And I'm like, does he have an opener? And no, he did not.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I give him props for that. Leave
him
alone.
I was a promoter. One thing you have to do if you're going to be a promoter is get rid of your soul.
Right. You keep saying the word promoter. He's a musician.
All right. Sean, let's hear your argument.
Isaac, can you put your clothes away?
I didn't even finish playing my video game yet.
Sean spent so much time organizing, folding your clothes. You need to put them away.
I don't even need to because I'm not even going to be here next week, even.
Yo, these eggs are good.
I like that you just let mom argue with the child and you just sit back and do nothing.
It's wisdom.
Listen, there are things you just can't get involved in. And sometimes when it comes to her and Isaac arguing, I'm like, I'm just going to sit this one out and eat my Eggos.
Is she arguing at your urging? Are you telling her, like, are you complaining to her before going, these clothes are out here. I folded them and they're out here.
I mentioned it before. He has a tendency to take the clothes, the clean clothes that I folded and washed on his bed and just throw them on the ground.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
Okay. Well, I don't blame you.
It's fair season. My wife and I spent the weekend at the fair and we were dismayed to see that our apple crisp and our sausage place are both gone. So we had to find a new one. I went and found myself a new sausage sandwich and it was flat.
I would argue that the flat sausage is superior to the round sausage at the fair, as a matter of fact, having experienced this.
It's because you're not Italian.
I mean, is sausage just Italian?
No, but I feel like a sausage and pepper grinder is an Italian thing. Like,
and so it has to be round for some reason? I mean, how many times have you been into a sausage and it's pink in the middle because it's round?
That's true. I mean, this is definitely thoroughly cooked.
It was the largest flat sausage I've ever seen. And you know what? Turned out it was delicious.
Well, yeah. Flat sausage for a breakfast sandwich for sausage and peppers, it needs to be a round sausage. That's the rule.
It was 14 inches long.
That's
it was very strange. It's
disgusting.
I had never seen one before. It was delicious.
Absolutely disgusting.
It's a lot of sausage.
All right.
Here was the argument I had with my 14-year-old daughter. If you're watching Only Murders in the Building and you haven't watched the last episode yet, don't listen to this.
Oh, great.
I'm relatively certain that Tobert did it.
No, Dickie did it.
It's too obvious. It's the red herring. That's what they call it in, like, movies and shows and theater. He was the obvious choice, so when they arrested him, we still have 2 episodes to go. There's no way they arrested and got the killer 2 episodes before the end of the season.
What are you talking about? They didn't arrest Dickie. They arrested Meryl Streep.
We're obsessed, and we can't stop arguing over who the killer is.
Here's the thing. I have no idea because I haven't watched a single episode. But you're right. If they offer up the arrest 2 episodes before the end, I would say that they're going to do a rope-a-dope on you.
Yep. All right. Dumbest argument of the weekend. Raven, who had it?
Sausage is sausage, man. I say my argument is dumb.
John.
It's too much sausage. It's entirely too much
no
sausage.
Such thing.
Sean.
Yeah, sorry, Raven. Kind of go to sausage.
Yeah, sausage. I agree. You had the dumbest argument.
Well, thank you.
Now, we're going to talk about when you're booking hotel rooms, what is the safest room to book? But first, we got to talk about you, Tracy. Tracy Walder is the author of The Unexpected Spy. Tracy met a CIA recruiter when she was in college at USC. They recruited her while she was at USC in a sorority And not only was she a CIA agent, she was an FBI agent, too.
Wow. I mean, that's fascinating stuff, Tracy. How does that really happen?
Well, thank you so much for having me. You know, it was really kind of a fluke, I guess. This is a pre-9/11 world, and I was interested in terrorism. I had become interested in it in college. Basically, I decided that I wanted to find something or some place that worked this counterterrorism mission, but it really wasn't very obvious to me. But I saw at a career fair at USC that the CIA was there and they were hiring and they worked this counterterrorism mission. So I give them my resume and the rest is history.
Your job fairs at USC, very, very different than any job fair I ever attended in my life. Yeah. I can just say that.
Common. They really do recruit at a lot of colleges, the CIA and the FBI do.
That's wild. And like you had like real scary stuff. Like, did you ever think that one day you were going to be hiding in trunks and delivering like information to people? Like, that's crazy.
No, I mean, my frame of reference for the CIA or the FBI, you know, really was just James Bond. You know, kids now have, you know, Homeland and Criminal Minds and all those shows. And so, no, for me, I don't think I had any frame of reference in terms of what I'd actually be doing.
And then like one day, like 3 weeks in, they're like, you know what we're going to need you to do, Tracy?
Right. Never close the door, though, right? I mean, what an adventure. Wow.
Tracy Walder, former CIA and FBI agent, author of The Unexpected Spy. So I know you're a mom as well. So I find this fascinating that you have really important tips about when you travel, the hotel rooms that you'll book, and some of the other things that you do to make sure you and your family are safe.
And this is something that they never really sit down and like tell you at the CIA sort of what you should and shouldn't do. It's just kind of tips that I guess I picked up along the way, if you will, just from being in all these different places alone, right, as a very young female. And so I think the first thing that I learned, which I know sounds silly, is to lock that deadbolt right away. Most hotels have a deadbolt as well as the security lock on top. I always recommend doing both. For me, it's just second nature, but I know to some of us, it's not. People think because we have automatic and digital locks, right, you know, in hotels with a key card that no one can get in. And I think the problem is we forget that the hotel staff all has access to those locks. So that's really the first thing that I do.
I mean, smart. I mean, it's there to lock the door. Lock the door, right?
Yeah. No question. It doesn't cost you anything.
No, it doesn't cost you anything. Another thing that I travel with, but I've also found that there's some fancy ones if people, you know, want to invest in those, is a rubber doorstop, just to, again, make it that much more difficult for someone to enter your room. There are some doorstops that you can buy on Amazon that really aren't that expensive. They're like $7 to $10. Those are metal, and they have alarms on them. It can alert you if someone tries to get into your room. So that's also something that people can think about as well. I personally don't have one of those alarmed ones. I just have like a rubber doorstop. But, you know, that's something that I recommend.
So if you missed it, Tracy Walder is here. She's a former FBI and CIA agent, author of The Unexpected Spy, and she has tips to keep you safe when you're staying at hotels. So far, if you missed it, making sure you use that top lock. It's amazing how many people don't.
Yeah, it's crazy to me, right?
Ordering one of the rubber stops. You can buy them on Amazon. They even have ones with alarms.
It's true that when you try and open a door and one of those is on there, if there's carpet especially, that thing ain't moving.
What else, Tracy?
I think the next thing I try to do, but again, this is not always possible. Look, I've stayed in massive hotels, right, that have 30 plus floors. So this is not always something that's possible. I always request a room between, you know, really the third and the sixth floor. If they give me a room on the first floor, I usually will actually try to find another hotel because I know it sounds silly. Nothing's completely foolproof. But to me, you know, with criminals or nefarious actors, you always just want to make it that much more difficult for them. You don't necessarily want to be on the 30th floor because if, God forbid, something happens, you now have to take 30 flights of stairs down. An elevator doesn't work or if there's a fire or something of that nature. So the reality is most of us can do 6 flights of stairs. That's really, I guess, like the sweet spot, if you will, in terms of security, because just as much as you have to think about not wanting someone coming in, you also have to think about your ease of getting out.
Yeah. Tracy, I'm checking this against all the action films that I have watched in my entire life. And so far, I think your information is pretty useful.
Absolutely.
What else you got?
The next thing, And people have become more and more attuned to this is actually just buying some air tags and putting those things in your luggage.
Yeah.
And you can track, you know, your luggage's journey, I guess, which I think is a useful thing.
You know, it's funny, Tracy, you should bring that up, because I read somewhere that not only do you put the air tags on your luggage, but you basically put one on your child. And I thought that was really interesting.
Sure.
Because I was like, huh, like that, especially in like when the busy airports. So how do you do it? How do you track your kids?
What I do is they make these rubber sort of wristlet things on Amazon, and you could put an air tag in there. I don't always put an air tag on my child, right? Like, she's not wearing an air tag at her dance class or anything like that. Yeah. However, when she is at like a busy carnival or our state fair or traveling through an airport, I always keep that on her. And she thinks it's cool because it looks like a watch.
Former CIA and FBI agent Tracy Walder. This is kind of veering left, but I'm curious, as a former FBI agent, a former CIA agent, and somebody that really knows this, and having a daughter who's 8 years old, when she gets older, will you let her go on social media? What age will you let her go on social media?
For me, I'm actually very open with her about social media and like what it is and how it works, because if I don't like create a dialogue with her, then she'll never feel comfortable. I want her to hear that information like from me, if that makes any sense. And so I personally am sort of someone who's going to wait until she's 13. That's my thing, no phone until she's 13. But at the same time, I want to use social media with her and show her that there's positive ways that you can use it, because I know some people are of the mindset, you know, I'm just not going to let them have access to it at all. But the issue is social media exists, whether we like it or not. I have to teach her how to use it in like a healthy way.
All right. Good stuff. Tracy Walder, the author of The Unexpected Spy, definitely going to be picking up this book and checking it out. You can find her information and where you can get the book at TracyWalder.com. Thank you so much, Tracy.
Thank you for having me.
Pros and cons of being an adult versus a child. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. You know, Raven, I was with my daughters in the car yesterday, and my little one was absolutely wild. She was overtired. We had a big day. She had been running around, and I was urging her to just close her eyes. Just take a nap while we were in the car. Just
calm
take a
down.
Nap.
Right.
You know, I'm like, just a half hour. That's all you need, and then you can be normal again and not crazy. And she's, I'm not tired. And all I kept thinking while I was urging her to close her eyes was, I would literally do anything to be able just to close my eyes right now and to take this nap.
Yeah, it's funny. When you're a kid, you're urged by people all around you to take a nap. You don't even have to be tired, frankly. If you're just bored and you're bugging somebody or whatever, they'll be like, why don't you go lay down for a while? As an adult, I am guilted every time I take a nap. And it's not just if I mention that I want one, or if I'm caught actually having one, or if I'm waking up when she walks in the door. It's always, you were napping again?
I don't understand.
What's that about?
Yeah, why? Why do adults get guilted when they want to take a nap? And kids are urged and encouraged to do that.
It's not all a win-win for either side. Like, some things kids get to do that's more awesome, and sometimes adults have to deal with it or whatever. There's some things that are just like that. How about, like, suntan lotion? Remember when you were a kid? Like, your mom would try and put it on you, but, like, back in the day, it wasn't even that big of a deal. Well, nobody was talking about skin cancer. Anytime I get a little color or anything right now, it's always like, well, did you put any protection on? Like, what, a raincoat? No.
I think that would probably have changed, because now I don't go anywhere without my stick of Neutrogena 50 plus zinc.
See?
Turns my child face completely white everywhere we go.
See, back in the day, your mom was just like, you look pink. Whatever.
Pros and cons of being adult versus kids. Which do you think was better? 1-800-330-9999. Autumn.
Well, when you're a kid, when you're little, you don't have any money, so you can't buy what you want. But when you're adult, you have to go to work to get the money. But you do have money, but you still have to go to work. So.
And because of your bills, you can't buy the thing that you want again.
I don't know. I don't know which is better.
When I was a kid, I could not wait to have my first job. Like, it was like my dream was to go to work. And I grew up in the restaurants because my parents own restaurants. So like, I was making pizzas when I was 7 years old, making salads. Like, that was part of what I did. I could make a meatball parm sandwich when I was 8 years old.
And now?
Now I'm like, why did I always want to work so much?
Right.
Like, you have to work your whole life. Why was I so quick to volunteer every weekend to go work in the restaurants?
Yeah, because when we're kids, we're suckers.
What are the pros and cons, adult versus being a kid? I was arguing with my daughter yesterday because I wanted her to take a nap. And I'm like, well, imagine as an adult, somebody begged you to take a nap. Yep. Okay.
If somebody was just walking in every time you were acting up and they were like, you know what? You should lay down for a while.
Oh, gosh. I wish somebody would say that right now. I'd curl up under this desk and just go right to sleep.
Right. I would definitely comply.
1-800-330-9999. Jake, pros and cons, adult versus kids.
Just your body. I used to be jumping down flights of stairs in my house. And now, like, if I take a nap wrong, my neck is ruined for a week.
Oh, for real. For real. Like, I got this thing with my hip. I went to a doctor. He's like, it's not a hernia. He's like, you're fine. And I think it's just because I fall asleep on the couch on that side of my body. But I'll never know because I'm never going to stop doing that. So when I was a kid, though, you know, you fall over, bend something. I swear my legs went both ways.
My little one, she'll be five soon. She falls all the time. She's like the crazy brave kid. And whenever she falls, I say the same thing. You all right? You all right? And she just jumps back up and she keeps going 100 miles per hour. Raven, imagine if you just fell.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, you're all right. Get up. You just keep going.
If you started saying, you're all right, you're all right, I would know immediately that if I had eyes on me, I'd be visually aware that I'm definitely not all right. Something's wrong.
That's how you know you're getting older. If you fall and people gasp. It's over. Right.
Something's
it's
broken.
All over. If you just fall and people giggle and they say you're all right, you're still young.
Okay, if you say so.
Dustin, pros and cons, adult versus kid. What was better and worse?
Honestly, getting dressed was way better as a kid because you just didn't have to think about it and someone was dressing you. You know what I mean? It's the way to go.
And as an adult, you can wear whatever you want to. But if you don't put pants on, nobody will stop me before I walk out the front door in the morning. It's true.
That's true. Yeah. It's like a pain to pick out your outfit every single day.
Sure.
Like, what are you going to wear? I just wore this 2 days ago. Is anyone going to realize it? When you're a kid, I mean, like, my daughter wakes up, my little one, and there's just an outfit that's folded on her dresser that she has to put on.
Right.
That's it. It's all set for her. She picks it up. She puts on her moutons. She puts on her shirt, and she just moves on. And, you know, her biggest decision is she going to wear her Crocs or her light-up Skechers.
And again, any roadblock she would run into, people would just go, ha, 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 you forgot your shirt. No big deal.
Right.
Whereas if you do that as a grown man, it's a big problem.
Oh, borderline felony, I think, in some states. Katie, pros and cons, adult versus kids.
So I think making friends so much easier as a kid than an adult. As a kid, a birthday party once, I just walked up to a kid and said, hey, I'm nice, play with me. And she's one of my best friends now. So we've been friends for years. Now it's so much harder to make friends because everybody's busy and you don't see each other in the way that you do when you're kids. You're at school every day. So I say kids.
So when you're an adult, you feel more anxious in certain ways.
Yeah.
I think so, right? And, you know, in the different settings, right?
It's definitely harder to make friends as an adult than as a kid. When you're in elementary school, like Dakota, my little one, she's in kindergarten.
Sure.
Everybody's her friend.
Right.
She walks into the playground, she starts playing with kids, and they are just friends.
Judgment-free,
yes.
They're open, yeah.
Everybody's friends. Everybody's friends with each other. There's a buddy bench. If somebody feels lonely, they go sit on the buddy bench. Somebody comes and gets them, and they go play.
It's a brilliant idea.
My older daughter started high school. She's in a new school district. She doesn't know many kids. It is a challenge. You know, she doesn't know anyone, and what a disadvantage. So I think it's easy to make friends on your own till like fourth grade.
Yeah.
After fourth grade, that becomes a really difficult thing.
Below 4 feet, it's a higher percentage of success.
It's true.
Yeah.
1978. That's when the first Scared Straight documentary aired. Did you ever have a scared straight moment? 1-800-330-9999. I mean, listening to these clips, I shouldn't laugh, but I was definitely laughing over the weekend with my dad because he worked with cops to stage a scared straight moment with my brother when he was a teenager. And I totally forgot about it until we were laughing about it this past weekend.
I remember when people started to act like knuckleheads around us when we were younger, and it was either elementary school or middle school that they took a bunch of us to the jail. Took a ton of us to the jail. And like each classroom would have a chance to go into the jailhouse and like stand in a cell.
Yeah.
It was so weird. Random. I don't even think I was in trouble at that point in my life.
I like forgot about Scared Straight. Yeah. I forgot that that was a thing that they actually did in the 80s and 90s. And they brought it back in the early 2000s. So I pulled up some old YouTube videos. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we did this and put it on TV.
Right. That man will rip your face off and wipe his with it.
I mean, that was on TV. We brought children to jails. And then this was my favorite. Mm.
Little Sean fears no one, but a meeting with Psycho soon changes that.
They call me Psycho because that stands for Prison System Yard Captain Hoover Official. After I have you busted up, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to drink some of your blood. I'm seriously going to drink some of your blood.
Dude, what? What? This was on TV.
Coming up tonight on Fox, right? 8:30. I mean, the strike is going on. These were reality shows. You can bring a couple of these back.
But it was a big deal back then to do Scared Straight. Like, you wanted to scare your kids to make sure that they would never do anything wrong. So my dad was telling this story about, and I forgot about it, was that when we were young, our sister is significantly older than my brother and I. She's about 9 years younger than me. And we knock on the door, and it was the police. Okay. And my brother was like hiding in the house somewhere. So my mom goes to the door, and they were chasing a bunch of teenagers in the woods. Spoiler alert, one of them was my brother. And they threw the backpack that they were carrying, and they threw like a bunch of backpacks, and in them was like beer and stuff like that.
Okay.
So the one they found belonged to my brother. Pulls out what's inside is my baby sister's library card.
Perfect.
So they show up.
They show up thinking it's your 11-year-old sister.
No. She was 4.
Wow.
They were looking to have a conversation with my 4-year-old sister.
Perfect.
And my mom, of course, is confused. But like,
she loves her Coors Lights.
She's just a baby. Yeah. I don't understand. I don't know. So my dad puts 2 and 2 together. Into the woods they go with the police officers to lecture my brother while he points out where all the other backpacks that they threw were.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Scared straight.
Yeah. Scary moment at that time. Yeah, I can remember, again, getting into trouble, but I can't remember. I don't think I was in any trouble before they actually brought us to the jailhouse. You're going to have a talk with Psycho.
Right.
You're gonna talk okay.
Were you ever scared straight when you were growing up? 1-800-330-9999. You remember that show? Like the 80s and even in the early 2000s, they brought it back where they would bring kids to prisons and try to scare them so they would never lead a life of crime.
That man will rip your face off and wipe his with it.
Yeah. I can't imagine why it's not on anymore, right?
I mean, a little bit more effective than detention, though.
1-800-330-9999. When were you scared straight? Victoria.
Well, my son, with the past minute, wasn't exactly scared straight. Got taken by his elementary school to the police station, I think to scare them straight. And for the first time in the 20 years that they've been taking children, he sat down on the bench, got the handcuffs, and handcuffed himself to the seat. And they didn't have a key.
Come on.
What?
I mean, what kind of cop doesn't have a key? What kind of police station does not have a handcuff key?
Entire elementary class. Teacher, policeman, absolutely flabbergasted. No one had apparently ever thought to do that, apart from my child.
Oh, my gosh.
Do they have to cut them off? How do they get him out? Or is he still there?
Oh, they got to find somebody with the key. You're not cutting them off.
Can you imagine, 10 years old? No, they eventually found a key somewhere or other, but they just, it was apparently, children don't do that.
Yeah, it's like an old school thing, right? Like, I mean, it could have been like, you know, like almost historical purposes or for people to visit. And then maybe it's not something that they're using that has the same key as today's cuffs. Mm. That's scary, man.
Yeah.
Didn't scare him straight, unfortunately.
Right. He still went on to be a knucklehead.
Susie, were you scared straight?
I was. I was getting ready to go to bed one night, and I had a knock at the door, and it was the police officers. They asked for me, and they said they had a warrant for my arrest. Took me downtown and booked me, and they had me arrested for forgery of a controlled substance. And what happened was, my mother worked at the hospital, and one of her coworkers was writing prescriptions illegally, and she used my name.
No kidding. Oh, my gosh.
No kidding.
How old were you?
Yes. I was in my 20s.
Can you imagine how terrifying?
Yes, that is crazy wild, huh? Wow.
That's not scared straight. Yes. That's a terrible mistake.
Right. I mean, it's fraud.
Exactly.
But you had nothing to do with it. I guess that kind of deterred you ever from leading a life of crime.
Right. The frame job was
enough.
Sherry, what happened to you? Were you scared straight?
I was scared straight when I was 6 years old. I was obsessed with our microwave, so I would put random things in there.
one day I started a fire in our kitchen, and my mom called the fire department. They showed up at our house, full gear, stormed into the house, and lectured me for what seemed like hours about safety, fire hazards, and I was terrified.
I mean, you were going to blow up the house, so it's probably a good idea. So, you know, I mean, experimenting with the microwave is not a thing. That's like when you're like, I wonder if I can do veggies in this dish, you know? I wonder if I can, like, you know, reheat this meat. Like, that's an experiment in itself. You're not like, let me put metal in there.
Yeah, but when you're small, you don't think like that. Until you're scared straight by a firefighter that shows up at your house in full gear with a fire truck outside.
And you made it sound like your mom called them and was like, can you talk to her? No, you started a fire. You physically, that's who you call. When a fire starts, that's who you call.
One couple.
He just doesn't seem to understand why should I go to this wedding now.
Just say no.
One problem.
I want to see her get married. I want to be there for her.
Make an excuse. You can't go and, you know, call it a day.
You decide the outcome.
It's so awkward.
It's Couples Score on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Cameron and Jillian. Okay, what's going on, Jillian? This is really complicated.
Yes. So every day I have a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I take them to the park down the street. It's a nice park. And I also bring my dog, Wally. And a couple days ago, I've been going there for like months now. A lady who also has a kid comes up to me and she asks if I can stop bringing Wally with me, the dog, because her kid is deathly afraid of dogs. There's no sign in the park that says no dogs allowed. Dogs go there all the time. So I don't think I need to stop bringing my dog. It's a public park. My dog's very well behaved, very well trained, very friendly, but also respects kids' spaces. So I don't see what the issue is. She can go to another park or just keep her kid away from the dog.
Cameron, what's your side of this?
Honestly, I think if somebody is coming to approach you and says, hey, my son is afraid of your dog, don't bring the dog. I mean, like, Wally is pretty well behaved, but like, he's excitable too. You know what I mean? Like, he's not a police dog. He's not perfect, you know? So, I mean, I get it. I myself was afraid of dogs as a kid. So I don't know. I feel for her.
I mean, all dogs are excitable. I mean, the dog that's laying down that doesn't make any sound or whatever is an older dog typically, or, you know, a certain breed, I suppose, but all dogs are excitable. Does Wally have any behavior issues that you have to deal with?
No.
Yeah, he's good on the leash. He doesn't bark. He doesn't. He's not aggressive.
Also, if you're going to take your kids to park, they're going to be dogs around, unless it's like a dog-free park. So, like, it's a public park. Dogs are allowed. Like, is she going to go up to every family that brings a dog? Other families bring dogs. Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. You're within your legal rights to be there, right? You, your family, your dog, all of you are within your legal rights.
Well, I don't think it's a rule. I just think, like, parks are more for families than they are for dogs. We could take Wally to the dog park, you know? Like, that's fine, you know? And, you know, I just think somebody asks a favor so that their kid can enjoy the park. We should help out.
Jillian, when she had this conversation with you, what was your response?
I asked her if, like, Wally had, like, barked at her cat child, or, like, if, you know, if an incident had occurred. She said no, but her kid is just scared of the dog. And I said, okay, well, thank you for letting me know. I kind of, like, avoided saying, yes, I'm going to take your request and not bring my dog anymore, because I tried to be polite, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Right, but you're caught off guard. Right. And then again, you don't have to commit to appease her.
Right.
You'll take it under advisement. And here you are.
What do you think? Yeah. Would you stop taking your dog to the park with your kids if somebody asked you not to?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
It's always tough because you want to be the bigger person and help somebody out. But so Cameron and Jillian, they have a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, and Jillian actually brings the kids to a neighborhood park very often, almost every single day. It's right down the street. And they also bring their puppy, and their puppy is a well-behaved puppy. But there's another mom who's always on the playground, and she brings her child. And the mother asked her, said to Julianne, would you mind not bringing your dog anymore? My child is really afraid of dogs, and the minute you come, he freaks out and we have to leave.
I mean, again, keep in mind that this is their park right down at the end of their street also, right? So, I mean, the fact that if she's not going to bring her dog is inconvenient for everybody. Number one, they've been doing this as a matter of regular, you know, visits every single day. And structure is important to your family, both for the dog, both for the kids, too. And if they're all enjoying themselves when they go, it's quite an inconvenience to say, well, I'm going to load my kids up and go to another park across town or drive to it, or the same thing with the dog, or I just have to leave them home. Now you've got to add a walk, all sorts of different things. It changes your schedule.
Yeah, but Cameron says, like, just be a team player. If it's a real bit, what if that was our kid that was afraid? And
why are we
made
on the same team? I don't even know this lady.
Yeah. I feel for both of them, because I could understand, like, if that's also your park and you have to deal with your kids' fears, I could see. But I'm looking at our Facebook page at Anna and Raven, and a lot of people are with Julianne, basically saying it's not her problem. And as long as the dog stays on a leash, then it really not is just not her problem. Mm. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. Cameron and Julian have a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, and Julian brings them to the neighborhood playground right down the street from their house almost every single day. And there is another mother at the playground who has approached her and asked her for her to please stop taking their dog Wally. Wally always comes on the leash. And the mom asks because her child is deathly afraid of dogs, and the minute that they arrive, they have to leave.
Mm. But here's the thing. This would inconvenience, obviously, Jillian and their family's life, too, right? Wally goes for this walk every single day with the family. He's part of the family. He's well-behaved. He's on the leash. Mom has to coordinate all these walks together. I mean, it would be a serious inconvenience for her as well. This is also their neighborhood park. It's not like these people conversate. This is the first conversation and exchange they've ever had before. Who's to say when you can go to the park and when you can't?
But dad slash husband Cameron is like, this is another mother reaching out to you for help. Like, shouldn't you be sympathetic? What's the big deal? Leave Wally at home. Just take the kids. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Nick, whose side are you on?
The dog should be going into the park unless the dog is not allowed in the park, especially if it's well-behaved. And that lady needs to fix her child by exposing the child to a dog that's nice and calm.
I mean, you're not going to be able to control everywhere that the kid is going to run into a dog, right? So, I mean, it's like, I get what you're saying. Like, I mean, yeah. Listen, if it was me, I have dogs. My dogs are well-behaved. They're not doing anything with your kid. I've got control of my animal, then I'm not going to worry about it. On the other hand, if the kid starts crying or whatever every time, it also makes it weird for me and my dogs. Me and my kids, too.
It's just tough as a parent, because I have a friend whose daughter was very afraid of dogs, and this was an issue every time we went out. And it's hard, because you want to be like, it's just a dog. Relax, it's just a dog.
Right.
But that fear is so innate in them, and you just want to protect them from it and try to expose them. It's difficult.
Hold your child down and bite
it
them yourself.
Difficult.
No, probably not the thing to do.
Not recommended?
No. Mike, whose side are you on today?
The person that is bringing the dog to the park, I don't know what our society has changed to. Everyone else bends to one person, you know, and having a child's fear of a dog and not trying to change that is only going to set up the child to have a harder life, because dogs are everywhere. And as a person that actually has a service dog, I bring my dog everywhere. And if I'm at a restaurant and the person next to me has a problem, that's not my problem. That's their problem.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Jillian, our audience agreed with you. If there's no sign and there's no rules and your dog didn't do anything wrong, then make an effort, obviously, when you go to the park to keep Wally as far away from the children as possible. But you don't have to leave him at home.
Thank you. Yes, it's a public park.
I just feel bad. I just feel bad for the mom. I was terrified of dogs. So, like, you know,
yes,
if my mom had done the same thing.
When did you get over it?
At some point. So
when did
you met
you
a nice dog.
Well, I got over it when we got Wally, for real. I mean, I wasn't afraid of them.
Well, then maybe Wally can help assuage this kid's fear, you know?
This might be a mom thing more than a son thing, too.
Yeah.
You've got just as much right to the park as anybody else. You're there with your family. She can adjust her plans. You're not walking up together. For all you know, she's been there for an hour and a half when you get there.
Right.
Or what if you've been there for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. She pulls up or walks up. She can make the decision based on that. It was nice that she asked you politely, and you could certainly tell her that you appreciate her asking you rather than having some sort of confrontation. But simply put, this is your park too, and you're going to go with your family, and Wally's part of your family.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $300. Hey, Rita, you ready to play today?
Okay.
All right. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Okay, Raven, leave the room, please.
You got it. Good luck, Tracy.
Rita.
Who am I talking to?
I don't even know who you're talking to.
Right.
All right. You see that disrespect he gave you right there, Rita? You see that?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
that's
you better take him down right now. He's outside the studio. He can't hear us, for it's soundproof in here. I'm going to ask you 5 questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
I'm ready.
Number 1, a new spinoff of America's Got Talent is in the works. Who currently hosts America Got Talent?
I can't remember his name.
That's okay. Number 2, Netflix announced a sequel to Squid Game. They're going to release it next year. What was the very first game of the first series?
Red Light, Green Light, 1, 2, 3.
Number 3, Taylor Swift showed up to the Kansas City game to cheer on her rumored new guy, Travis Kelce. She sat next to Travis's mom. What's his mom's name?
Carol.
Number 4, Pauly Shore is trying to drum up interest in a Richard Simmons biopic with him as a star. But Richard is reportedly not interested. He's been, you know, kind of in hiding for years now. What was the name of his line of 80s fitness videos that he sold over 20 million copies of?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
And number 5, Usher was announced to be the next halftime performer at the big game. He's part owner of what NBA team?
I don't know. The Wizards.
Okay. Let me bring Raven back in.
Well, yo.
Rita only got one right.
Not too good, Rita. Let's see how I do. $300.
Number 1, a new spinoff of America's Got Talent is in the works. Who's the current host of America's Got Talent?
America's Got Talent host. Is it, I'm going to get this wrong. Is it Nick Cannon?
No, it's Terry Crews.
It's Terry Crews. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I tricked myself out of it.
Nick Cannon hosts The Masked Singer.
Yep.
Number 2, Netflix announced a sequel to Squid Game. They're releasing it next year. What was the name of the very first game they played?
Red Light, Green Light.
Red Light, Green Light is correct. You guys are tied at 1. Number 3, Taylor Swift showed up to a Kansas City game to cheer on her rumored new guy, Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
She sat next to Travis's mom. What's his mom's name?
Donna.
Donna is correct. Also, I would have accepted Mama Kelce, but her name is Donna.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Number 4, Pauly Shore is trying to drum up interest in a Richard Simmons biopic with him as a star. But Richard is reportedly not interested. You know, he's been kind of recluse and hiding for many years now.
Right.
What was the name of his line of 80s fitness videos that sold over 20 million copies?
Sweatin' to the Oldies.
Sweatin' to the Oldies is right.
Yeah.
And number 5, Usher was announced to be the next halftime performer at the big game. He's part owner of what NBA team?
Oh, I had no idea. I don't know.
Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Rita. He beat you 3-1 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
It's Rita, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $400 tomorrow, Anna.